Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to a live edition of OAN Sports Talk. What's up, Rickett?
What's going on, Tarvino?
Man, was it me or was it just some flushing?
In the eyes of a ranger, the unsuspecting stranger had better know the truth of wrong from right. Of the eyes
of a ranger. Hello, welcome to a live edition of OAN Sports Talk. I'm your host, Brian Tarvin, joined with Chris Ricketts tonight, and that theme song seemed fitting for what's happened this weekend and what's been going on in the past. How you doing, Chris?
I'm doing great, Tarvino. Enjoyed spending some time with you there in the ATL. Had to come back to work today, unfortunately, and as you know, anytime you take a vacation, when you come back, it is complete and total chaos. So long day at the office today, but glad to be back home tonight and with everyone to do the show. So looking forward to it, man.
Well, it goes to show when you're off work how important you really are when you come back. Because it's like the
exactly.
company couldn't exist. Sometimes it couldn't exist without you, you feel like, but we know that's not true. But you get in that 4 or 5 days off of vacation and rest and relaxation, then you have to come back to the reality of the 10-hour day. It's tough. So glad you're back. Hopefully you'll get back in the rhythm by just in time for the weekend to hit. So
and then
you have to do it all over again.
I know, that's the bad thing.
Yeah, but man, we have a big show tonight, and we're gonna have a lot of listeners, hopefully a lot of callers in tonight, because we have some interesting topics. You know, we're gonna touch on the Pacquiao fight. We're going to see if that was rigged. We're going to get some callers, hopefully, to call in and give us their opinion. We're going to break down LSU football for this upcoming season. And, man, you know, we talked about Alabama a couple of weeks ago. This LSU team is loaded, Chris, and it has talent everywhere except for head coach, in my opinion. So we're going to break them down, talk a little NBA finals. We just got finished with game one. It was a great game. OKC took care of business. I thought they might, but you never know about the Heat. But we're going to see if LeBron James resorted back to his old ways, his fourth quarter jinx in the NBA playoffs. And we're going to talk some College World Series baseball. That's going to be a fun topic. Our 8 teams are set, and out of those 8, we have 3 SEC teams. And, Chris, there is just so much to talk about.
Yeah, I agree. It's definitely going to be an action-packed show. And just want to remind everybody, we've got our chat room going. And so if you got any topics you'd like to discuss or want to weigh in the chat room, please feel free to do so. We'll have a good turnout there.
Yeah, and you can follow us on Twitter at Weigh In Sports. Follow us on Facebook. I mean, this is a lot of ways to communicate in one show, so there's no excuse. You can follow us some way. So call in number 646-716-5564. So let's get started, Chris. That intro song, the Texas Walker Ranger Chuck Norris, is just a funny thing I heard. Not funny, excuse me. Texas man, you know, we're talking about the Sandusky case last week. Well, Texas man caught some old man messing with his 4-year-old daughter, and he beat him to death and killed him. So there's a big difference in Texas and compared to up north in Pennsylvania, it looks like. So we had to play that song. So, Chris, thanks for getting that song ready for us.
Yeah. Sorry about the original intro there. That little technical difficulty on the studio board. But, yeah, it looks like that guy provided that man some good old Texas justice, which is absolutely what he deserved. Anytime I hear something like that, it just makes me want to throw up. I mean, it just makes me so sick to my stomach. And you know what? I'm glad to see there's some people out there that's not afraid to take some justice into their own hands when it's necessary.
And I heard that it might not, it's real possible, very possible, that it won't even go to trial.
It should.
This is Texas now. That's what I like about Texas now. I mean, you know, they take matters into their own hands, and I respect that about Texas, man.
Yeah, exactly.
Except in Pennsylvania, you got a bunch of people up there trying to get a guy that's been molesting kids for 20 years off scot-free, and they were covering it up. So that doesn't happen in the good South, does it?
No, it doesn't. It seems like they're more worried about preserving the name of the university up there in Pennsylvania than really getting down to the truth of the matter as to what happened. So, yeah, you know, Sandusky, he's got his coming to him. So, you know, hopefully he'll get justice that will definitely be served in that trial.
Well, Chris, before we get started, we have a caller in queue, and we're going to go ahead and take him. You're on Way In Sports. Who is this and where you're calling from?
This is Dan Alley from Logan, Utah.
Hey, Dan. How are you?
How's it going, Dan?
Good. How are you guys?
Good.
Doing great.
What's going on tonight? What's on your mind?
Not much. I don't have a ton of time to talk, but, of course, college football is always on my mind. I don't really know much about the other sports. I know
good.
The message board.
I like that, Dan. That's all I care about, really.
Yeah. I know on the message boards a few topics have been brought up, like you were talking about Sandusky. You know, I like what you were saying about the guy in Texas, but I'd also kind of believe in the system. I don't think Sandusky will last long in prison anyway.
No, I don't, he won't.
I mean, even people in prison know, you know, that's just a boundary that you don't cross. And I'm sure he'll get a warm welcome when he ends up there. But the other part of the message board, a lot of talk about LSU this week. I know that you posted that. We're breaking down the team this year. Today I picked up my Lindy Sports college football preview, and I was going over that today. And I noticed LSU has a bye week before the Alabama game.
Yep.
And so I think
Later.
That's just a huge advantage for them. I
think
that
could
be the difference in that game.
Yeah, and not only that, they have Alabama at home at night, which will be a primetime CBS game. So it gives all those Cajuns there a lot of time to get riled up. So Alabama's definitely going to have their hands full when they travel down to Baton Rouge to take on the LSU Tigers this year.
Mm-hmm. That's going to be another one of those games like last year where tickets are going for almost $1,000, you know. That'll be the biggest ticket game in the country, I believe.
Oh, yeah.
I think overall, looking at LSU, I mean, they lost some people, but overall I see them being another championship contender this year. I think Zach Mettenberger, I think he'll be a better quarterback for them. They have a new offensive coordinator. They have a ton of talent on defense coming back. I see these guys as quite the team again this year. I don't think they're going to take a step back at all.
No, that defense is loaded. I mean, you have Sam Montgomery and Mingo on the ends. I mean, you have Logan and Brockers at tackle. I mean, these guys, and even the linebackers are pretty good. And you still have Honey Badger coming back. And you bring back the kicker and the punter on this team. So four starters back from the offensive line, a running back field that's just so deep and talented. It's just hard to stop these guys, man. It's the only person that can stop them, Dan, is Les Miles, I'm telling you. He's the guy that can really cause them to be 10-2 this year. And that'll be a bad season, and a letdown for LSU will be 10-2.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Looking at their schedule, they have the grind of the SEC, but their toughest out-of-conference is Washington at home. I don't think that'll be too much of a game. Of course, you know, never say never. Washington was a bowl team, but I don't think it's going to be much of a challenge for them.
No, a team coming from Washington to Baton Rouge, I mean, let's face it.
Yeah.
I mean, they'll annihilate these guys. I watched Baylor play Washington in a bowl game, and Washington had one of the worst defenses I've ever seen. And Dan, I know you're a Utah fan, right?
Oh, yes, indeed. Go Utes.
So the Utes have a stout defense coming back this year, don't they?
Oh, yes. We started a little too late. He's arguably one of the best defensive tackles in the country. He's backed up by the Krueger brothers. You may have remembered their older brother, Paul Krueger, who's a defensive end for the Ravens. He was our starting defensive end for the Sugar Bowl in 2008. We had to replace most of our linebacking crew. But looking back at history, Utah's linebackers have always been pretty stout. And then defensive backs, we have Brian Blecken, who's kind of becoming Eric Weddle Jr., kind of. And he's just a hard-hitting guy who loves the game. He's made some great plays for us in the past. He's won us a couple games with some interceptions. Overall, Utah's defense, this could be one of our better defenses we've had and arguably the best defensive line we've ever had.
Yeah, it takes a little while to adjust to going into a big conference. And, you know, you have to start recruiting. And the main thing Utah had to do was build depth. I mean, they had good talent in their starters and everything, but when you play in big conferences, you have to get three, four deep, and you have to be able to rotate those guys in and out. And that's why Alabama and LSU have been so good for so long, is because all they do is just keep reloading and bringing these big defensive players in. So I expect Utah to be pretty good this year. So it's going to be interesting to see their Pac-12 schedule, how they do, but I'm expecting a decent year.
Yeah, I think it will be a great year. What you were talking about with depth is so true. I mean, last year we figured that out. We lost our quarterback and didn't have any backups. So we lost our first four conference games. It cost us the chance at the conference championship game. But, I mean, this last year, despite being a letdown year, we ended up getting a better recruiting class after 8-6 than we did 13-0 in the Mountain West. So, I mean, the recruits are coming in. It's exciting to be a Ute fan. This year, we don't have Oregon or Stanford on the schedule, which is a huge blessing for us. It all kind of boils down to the USC game at home on October 4th. USC is a national championship contender. They have a great team. The early Vegas lines put them at 14-point overdogs against us at home, but with the great defense we have, you know, at home with the altitude, It's not impossible that we beat them, and if we can, I mean that'd give us a huge foot up in the Pac-12 South.
Yeah, I mean that's a big home field advantage playing in Utah. I've gotten to watch a lot of games on TV. I've never been able to go, but it's a hostile environment when you go to Utah.
Yeah, I think the altitude plays part of it, but I mean people look at it and they say 45,000. That's not a very big stadium. Expansion has been in the talks for a while now, but last year we saw UCLA, who's been in one of the bigger conferences for a while. They played big games. We gave them three false starts in a row, you know, with our student section. So I mean, it's a great place to watch a game. Pitt fans in 2010 said it was the loudest stadium they've ever been to, you know, and they've been to all the Big East stadiums, I'm sure. But, yeah, I think if we can just catch them off guard, I mean, it could be the biggest game in Utah history in the regular season up to this point. But if we can just catch them off guard, maybe catch Barkin in the off game. Both teams have bye weeks before, so anything can happen.
Yep, you are right. And, Dan, I appreciate the call, man. And in a few minutes we're going to talk some more college football. But if you can't listen live, please check out the archive after this show. We're going to go in depth about college football.
I will do.
All right, man.
I'll call in another time.
Yeah.
All right, thanks, guys.
Thanks,
bye, man.
And I'm going to bring in our co-host, Trey
Patterson. When you live in a glass house and your name is Ric Flair, you can do anything any day of your life that you want to.
What's up, Trey? Is Trey on the line? Let me see. Here he is. Trey, are you there, sir?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you.
Trey,
you like your introduction,
man?
Buddy.
I feel like that's a perfect intro for me every time.
Okay, I'll remember that. I'll remember that. I have another intro for you, but it's not downloaded yet, but I'll get it.
Well, as long as it's a proper introduction, that's fine, I guess.
Hey, right, that's it. I hope you had a happy birthday Sunday.
Yeah, everything was great.
Good. And we started out talking a little college football. Dan called in, and he's a big Utah fan, so we discussed them a little bit. But we're going to change gears, Trey, and we're going to go to the NBA playoffs just to start out with and get it out of the way. Game one last night, guys. I know we were all mixed on this series a little bit, and it's very hard to predict. But, you know, Miami came out and was playing like the Miami of the last few games, the way they closed out Indiana and the way they closed out Boston. But, Trey, what in the world happened to LeBron James again in the fourth quarter of the game?
Well, you know, Tarvin, I think this goes back to halftime, to be quite honest. I think that's where Brooks made adjustments. I mean, this is kind of, if you watch the playoffs of the Thunder, kind of what they've done every series. You know, the first game, they did this to the Mavericks in the first series. They let the Mavericks get out, and Brooks went into halftime and said, okay, let's change some stuff up. You know, Sefolosha went on James for defense, and it changed the game. I think a lot of that was coaching, man. And of course, you know, you can't take anything away from what Durant did. I mean, or Westbrook. I mean, those two guys just were phenomenal down the stretch. But there's some defensive little schemes that I think Brooks implemented at halftime that really made a difference. So we'll see how Miami adjusts in game two, because they're gonna have to account for that Sefolosha defense on James, which was pretty effective as you can be on LeBron James.
Chris, what jumped out at you game one?
Well, what jumped out at me more than anything was, you know, I know Trey alluded to this earlier, you know, Scott Brooks making the defensive switches, you know, with Sefolosha and everything. But I kind of thought Miami, you know, they got away in the second half of what worked in the first half, and that was driving the lane and getting out to open shooters. It just seemed like there wasn't a lot of ball movement to me in the second half. You know, I mean, Shane Battier, what was he? You know, he had like 13, 14 points at the end of the first half, and he was just getting wide open jumpers. And a lot of that was facilitated by LeBron or Dwayne Wade, you know, driving the lane and kicking out and then making the extra pass. And I think Miami just kind of got away a little bit from what worked, you know, in the first half. And then of course, you know, Durant pretty much took over that second half. So it's definitely going to be a game or a series of adjustments by the coaches, and we'll see how Miami reacts in game two. But, you know, if Miami happens to lose game two, then, man, all the pressure in the world is really on them again. So Miami, in order to make this a really viable series, they need to come out and they need to win game two to put that pressure back on the Thunder.
Well, the thing that jumped out at me is how tired Miami, you know, after that, you know, towards halftime and after, it's like they were sucking for wind, man. They could not keep up with OKC, and I think the minutes and the wear and tear, you look at Miami's road to get there, they're having to play game seven, and OKC's playing five games, you know, or five or six games. So it's a big difference, especially when OKC's a younger team and more athletic in a way, and now they're playing a Miami Heat team that's been, you know, they've been tested too. So I don't know, LeBron James, man, I just can't get over the fact that he had, what did he have, like 2 points in the last 8 minutes of the game last night? Some stat like that. I might be a little off. But, again, when the game's on the line, I expect LeBron James to take over a game. And he doesn't have that ability to close out games like Jordan and Kobe. He just doesn't, man. And I want to put him up there in an elite class, and I do. I keep putting him up and taking him down. But until he can show me he can take over and be a clutch player, I just can't put him in that level, Trey.
No, I mean, I can't either. I mean, you gotta account for the fact that, I mean, he had a decent game overall if you look at his numbers, but, you know, it's the fourth quarter, what happens, you know, and it seems like to me that teams are able to adjust defenses on him, and he can't adjust out of it. I mean, I think that may be where you go from the fourth quarter on LeBron James is teams are able to account for him in the fourth quarter and shift up a defense on him, and he can't adjust to it, you know, and maybe that's the difference. I don't know, but, you know, you're right. There's something that you can't put your finger on with that.
Yeah, it's just, yeah, I see him, and I just can't picture him as a Kobe Bryant or Jordan, Rickett. I just can't do it.
Yeah, and let's, I mean, this it's early, you know, game one, you know, he's got time to figure this out, and he's going to have other chances in this series to basically close out games or to take over games. So I'm not ready to, you know, just bury him just yet. But to me, the key to that in this game is one turnover. One turnover was committed by Russell Westbrook, and if he continues to play at that rate, you know, dishing the ball, facilitating, and scoring points, and he averages less than three turnovers per game, this is going to be a pretty short series.
11 assists, too. I mean, this guy has a guy that seems like, and I classified him as a ball hog in ways, this guy has 11 assists. He's finally starting to learn how to play team basketball and accept that Kevin Durant is the man. You know, I think it took him a little while for his ego to take a step back and realize that he's not the best player on that team. He's a great player, don't get me wrong, but, it, you know, have you noticed that, Trey? Have you noticed that he seems like he's adjusted to his role as being the second man on that team?
Yeah, I mean, that's been a lot of criticism for Westbrook has been, you know, hey, you know, you're a point guard, you need to distribute. And, you know, I think he's taken on a little bit of that. I think you're finding some better passes. I mean, he had some nice, crisp passes, you know, to other players to get them to score in that game. And you, maybe you're right. Maybe he is maturing a little bit. I mean, he's still a super threat to score. But, you know, with a point guard, you got to have him be able to give somebody else a chance as well because, you know, he can't account. He's not going to be the guy scoring 50 or 60, you know, a night. That's just not going to be – he's not that kind of point guard. I mean, but if he chips in with 20 and gets – between 5 and 10 assists, man, that's the kind of play you need out of him.
Hey, guys, we have a caller in queue. We're going to go to the lines. You're on Way In Sports. Who's this?
This is Jason.
Hey, Jason, how are you?
Good. How are you guys? Say, I just wanted to weigh in on last night's game. I said this to Sonya, because I've been watching NBA Finals for quite a long time, and to me, game one really means nothing to me. Game one is basically two teams kind of figuring each other out. And I just don't think – I said, you know, actually last night before the game started, all Miami has to do is take one in OKC. I agree with you guys. I don't think their heart was in it. I think they were tired last night. But to me, I'll have a better gauge on how this series is going to go in game two. Because game two to me is put up or shut up. Now, they go 0-2, you know, that's tough.
In the format now with the 2-3-2, so if Miami steals a game in OKC, all of a sudden they have three home games, which Miami will be favored in all three of those games. So OKC could be in some deep trouble if they lose game two.
But I will have to admit, though, I was impressed with OKC last night. They played like a veteran team and pulled away when they needed to. So... I mean, I enjoyed the game last night. I won't lie. I mean, I'll echo what Sonya said. I pretty much boycotted the whole year because I thought they're all greedies. But one thing that I won't miss is the finals. You know, I do the same thing with hockey. You know, I could care less about the regular season. I don't really pay attention until after All-Star break. But I will watch the finals and the playoffs. So I'm excited. It's going to be a good series.
Hi,
yeah, it is. Hey, Tanya.
Hey.
How are you?
I'm great. Now, I was just letting Jason finish his thought.
You know her. She could care less about the NBA right now.
She's waiting for that LSU preview.
Huh?
I said you're waiting for that LSU preview.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm in wait mode. He's got total control of the telephone right now, so I'll just sit and patiently wait like a good little wife.
But I agree. I mean, when you said if Westbrook can hold himself to three or less turnovers per game, man, that series is theirs. I mean, Westbrook and you know, they just have chemistry. I see it, you know.
Yeah, they do, and that's something I didn't see last year, but I saw it, you know, they were building it. We always knew they were a year or two away, and now they're showing that they are. I mean, this is a dynasty. If they win this series, like Chris said the other day, if they win this series over Miami, it might be 5 years before they lose another one. So these guys are young. They're talented, they're well coached, and they play good team basketball. And I just think, you know, throughout the for the next few years, they're going to add these key role players into their team and just get better and better. So I'm excited to see what they do.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, and I'll weigh in on LeBron James and as far as how I feel about him. Until he gets over that hump and he wins, and I'm not going to say just one, he needs to win possibly two to ever get into that upper echelon of top 15, 20 NBA players. Because right now, he is just your, I wouldn't say elite, but your go-to guy, just like any other team has. You know, if I wouldn't even compare him to Kobe, to Jordan, to any of those. He's not there. He's not even close to there yet.
No, he's not.
I just, you know, I got to see it from him. And, you know, and I agree. Last night, what happened? He didn't show up in the fourth quarter. You know,
Again, it's a trend that goes on with this guy. And I know Chris said he's not ready to bury him yet, but, I mean, how many finals am I going to have to see LeBron James in the fourth quarter just collapse? I'm not going to wait around anymore. I just don't think he can get it done.
Yeah, Tanya said that LeBron is basically the UGA of the NBA. You know, Georgia gets to the big game, but then they choke. So,
I have expectations for LeBron James, and he's just not meeting them, man. It's a golden opportunity. And I know his first year when he was with Cleveland, it was hard. I mean, he wasn't going to win that. He can't win by himself. But last year, there's no reason they shouldn't have won the finals last year.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he had that cast. He had a supporting cast that year. He choked. You can't explain it any other way. You know, if you don't show up and you don't play to your ability, you can't say, well, I got the flu or I don't feel good. No, you play through anything. You know, you look at Jordan, who played that game with 102 fever, you know, and going out and scoring 45 points. I mean, you play through that. There are no excuses. You know, that's what
I mean. You have millions of dollars in your pocket and you have the best doctors in the world. There's no reason to ever miss a game.
Amen. I mean, take for instance football players. They twist an ankle, they go in, get a couple of cortisone shots, and they're right back out there. You know?
It's prima donnas, man. That's all they are, is prima donnas.
Yep. Ooh, my toe hurts. Oh.
Hence the boycott.
I honestly miss the old days, guys. I really do. Basketball isn't the same as it used to be.
Well, can I weigh in on this one?
Yep.
My thought is, back when I was growing up and I was watching it, there wasn't just one star. You had a team. I mean, the perfect example was back in the day when it was the Celtics and you had Larry Bird, Danny Ainge, Robert Parrish. You know, it was a team.
Kevin McHale.
And even with the Lakers and the 76ers, and for some reason it started with Jordan, or after Jordan, instead of building a team, it was like, okay, let's get one superstar player and a supporting cast. And it's just totally ruined it for me.
Well,
but I like the fact that
Sonia, I want to tell you something. What ruined it for me is how if you breathe on somebody, you get a flagrant foul, suspended. Back in the days when the Bad Boys or the Pistons and, you know, those guys would, I mean, you're lucky to make it through a game without a concussion or going to the hospital. Now it's just a 50 game, man. You can't even touch anybody without getting fined or suspended or, you know, it's just ridiculous. And Larry Bird and Magic Johnson, those guys, those were tough guys. You know, they played with heart and passion. These guys now are just, they're selfish and they're just playing for money.
But also, back in the old days, there was no such thing as a flagrant foul because they played with respect. Now, you would hard foul someone, but you wouldn't take their frickin' head off. You know, there was a certain level of respect back in the 80s, you know, and even the early 70s. You played your heart out. You gave it your all. You may hack and you know, a hard foul, but you're not clotheslining someone or tripping them or shoving them. You know, that's what you didn't see back in the old days.
Yeah. To me, the best example team from the old days is what Doc Rivers is doing in Boston. I mean, I really, because he played, you know, with a team, I think he's bringing that mentality back, and I really do like to see that. So we'll see what happens. My boycott ends after this year, so unless they strike again.
Well, you know, it's like they're having temper tantrums now. Back then, they were grown men, and they played the game. Now, it's a bunch of boys playing and acting like 10-year-old kids throwing temper tantrums, and that's what you see a lot now. It's not men.
You know what it is, guys? You know what it really is? It's the fact that you have college players, and Kentucky is a good example of this. They play 1 year, and they jettison to the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
Back in the old days, and this is during the days of, like, Syracuse, Georgetown, St. John's, mm-hmm. those powerhouses. They played for 4 years and matured.
That's right.
And knew how to work within a team atmosphere. Now you got these kids jumping out of high school and out of the first year of college. You know, they're not developing. And then you get that immaturity in the NBA, and it's like a disease.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's really what the...
Jason, you give a 19-year-old millions of dollars, and it's just disaster waiting to happen.
Oh, yeah.
Amen.
And then the funny thing is they're broke by the time they're 30. That's what I don't understand.
30? What are you talking about? 21? What are you talking about? 30? I mean, these guys are broke in 2 years almost, and they just don't know how to manage their money. And it's sad, you know, and that's why people should mature a little bit, or at least have someone managing their accounts or something until they get a certain age. But Jason, I'm going to leave you all. Go ahead.
Oh, I'm going to flip real quick on you before I'm going to stop talking. But what are your thoughts on Ocho Cinco in Miami?
I can't stand Ocho Cinco, man, and I sure can't stand Miami. <but. laughs>
On that one.
I can't stand Miami. I mean, they just blew their draft and, you know, getting Tannehill. Now Ocho Cinco, he's going to come be like a Terrell Owens and spread his cancer to another team. So Miami's going to have 4 or 5 wins this year. Trey, do you see anything different?
Yeah, do you see anything? I'll tell you, Tarvin, I'm not a Miami hater, or at least a Ocho Cinco hater. I think that he can be a cancer. I mean, to me, Terrell Owens is a much worse, just cancerous strain.
Oh, I would agree. I would agree.
I mean, Terrell Owens is like 39 years old and still thinks that he's the best player in the game, which is absolutely ridiculous. I mean, you got to calm down, kid. I mean, I don't know. Tannehill, you know, I think we talked about that a lot. I mean, I think it's a bad move personally too, but we'll see. I mean, I don't want to be a hater on the guy before he gets in the NFL, but. You know, I don't think Miami did a great job either.
Yeah.
I think they're stretching.
They are. I mean, Ocho Cinco, come on now. I mean, this is getting ridiculous. Get a wide receiver that's been out of college a year or two and put him in there. I can run faster than Ocho Cinco right now, and I'm. I don't know about him, man. I've just not ever been a big fan of him and T.O., so. Both have, you know, had good years and, you know, in certain times. But now I mean, they're too old. They're washed up. Get them out of the NFL. Let them go on and do something else. I think he was on Dancing with the Stars. He can go back to that.
Now, his girlfriend or his fiance, whichever it is this week, because, they're, you know, that little reality show, that'll be his fallback. At least he's got that. T.O., like, damn, you can't even play arena ball.
Hey, the arena league is legit. Let's not hate on the arena league. They're those guys are real athletes, and Terrell Owens just, you know, he just can't cut it there.
That's bad when you played NFL football and played in the Super Bowl. Now you can't even make it an indoor football league, man. That's terrible. But hey guys, I'm gonna go to the phone lines. Jason, stay on and I'll get back with you. Hit number one if you wanna come back on, okay? Sonya, you do the same.
All right, no problem.
All right. You're on Way In Sports, is this?
Hey, what's up, guys? Avery again.
Hey, how are you?
Pretty good. Just called in to weigh in on what you guys are talking about, which I think, but it sounds like you're done, so wherever you're heading, I'll just listen in and comment.
All right, I want you to hit number one, okay, if you're ready to talk again. I'll get you back on.
All right. Okay.
All right, thanks, man. Well, we're going to touch on the NBA just 1 second before we head off. Trey, do you think there's any shot Miami can win game two and make this a series again, heading three back to Miami?
Yeah, I think there's a shot. I mean, here's the – you know, I was thinking about 2 points when we were talking about this earlier, and I just want to bring this up. And I think even though I'm saying Miami has a shot, I find both of these points very interesting. One is I think I saw a stat line, and I love stats because they're always very interesting. It was like 10 of the last like 13 teams have won game one have gone on to win the championship. So I found that kind of interesting. And the second one is I heard a commentator on Twitter who was tweeting about his watching of the Oklahoma City practice, I think it was today, this morning, and he was saying that he's never seen a team in the NBA run so much during the finals. He had, I guess, the coach had them all out there running suicides for like an hour. And I think that's, you know, I mean, that's one kind of incredible to think about. Like, the fact that this team is in the finals and they're all young and the coach is out there running them. So I think that says a lot about their endurance. If they've been doing like that all year long, it's no wonder why Kevin Durant, it looked like he was jogging, you know, a half mile and walking it. You know, he was not tired at all. You know, and some of the Miami guys look like they had just ran a marathon. So, you know, Miami's got a chance. That's two things which I think gives maybe Oklahoma City edge that, you know, especially this conditioning thing that I didn't, you know, think about before that little comment. So, who knows? Maybe Oklahoma City runs away with this.
Hey, Chris, I want to know if LeBron James and Dwayne Wade will take off those glasses they wear during every interview and they play some basketball for once, because I don't know about that. That's all they care about, Trey, is how they look in the post-game conference after they lose a game. That's all they care about. They don't care about suicide.
Russell Westbrook looked pretty interesting, too, with his shirt on and glasses.
They're trying to make the cover DQ.
Yeah, I mean, it's just... it's getting ridiculous, man, to see all this going on. But, you know, you'd think Miami would be hungry for a championship. But, you know, what surprises me is OKC's hungrier. And, you know, LeBron talks about he wants a championship more than anybody in the world. Well, if you do, you're going to have to produce in the fourth quarter. And you're going to have to outplay Kevin Durant, because Durant made a statement last night that he's not going to get outplayed by LeBron James. So, I'm interested to see how this goes. I think tomorrow night could get ugly. I think OKC, if Miami was tired last night, imagine you only get one day off, really. You're going to have to come back and play on the road again. So you don't know, man. It just seems like OKC is getting better as the playoffs go on. So we're going to see. So we're going to shift gears a little bit, guys, and we're going to touch on some college football. But before we do that, I'm going to bring a caller on the line. You're on Weigh In Sports. Who's this?
Hey, it's Avery. I got disconnected. I was just calling you back.
Hey, Avery.
Hey, what's going on? Hey, but one quick point about the OKC.
Go ahead.
I felt as if a team from the West was going to win it anyway. I know Miami's worked hard, but whether San Antonio emerged or whether it be OKC or whoever, I thought a team from the West was going to win because there's so much more competition in that conference from top to bottom.
Man, I totally agree. It's like we talked about this on the show. The West is all where it's at. You might have two teams maybe in the East that could even compete in the West. But you look at OKC and San Antonio and the Lakers all year, they've been battle-tested, and they play a different brand of basketball, a more exciting brand of basketball. So I just think Miami's outclassed this series. What do you think, Avery?
I mean, and to, you know, you always hear about defense, Miami and Chicago playing defense, but the teams out West are really good offensive teams, and the thing about those offensive teams is they can decide to clamp down when they want to. It's not that they can't play defense, they just choose not to because they have such good offense. Conversely, your teams in the East that are really good at defense can't have that spark of offense when they want it. It's not there. So look at OKC. They come out, Miami hammers them with a bunch of three-pointers, and OKC just come up and catch up with them and pass them, and then OKC decides to play defense.
Yeah, it's interesting how they always start off slow, it seems like, but they wear teams down. And I know Miami's not old, but they look like an old team, Avery.
Yeah, I honestly, I felt if LeBron James wanted a ring, he should have went to Chicago. If him and Derrick Rose, the way they would have synced up, oh my goodness. I don't think it was a good match with him and Dwayne Wade.
Yeah, they don't have a point guard in Miami. You know,
right.
they have no general on the floor, and Chris alluded to that last show too. You got to have a point guard if you're going to compete and win championships. You look at OKC, they have Westbrook. Who does Miami have?
Exactly. You don't. And you're relying on LeBron James and Dwayne Wade to give you constant dribble penetration when they should actually have the luxury of just spotting up and shooting when they wanted to.
Yeah, that's exactly right, man. I couldn't have said it better myself. They're having to create too much, and they need somebody like a Steve Nash on the court that can be the general and get some points when he has to, but keep that defense honest and create shots for those guys. They're having to use too much effort and energy to create their own shots, and then they're going to have to come back and play defense, which, you know, wears you out after a while. So
exactly. The thing is with Wade and LeBron, I don't think neither of them knows when to turn on the switch. Like, okay, are you going to do the go hard, or am I going to go hard? It seems like they're out of sync all the time. But a point guard would really ease all that, and you know they'd be able to, like you say, spread the defense and open up a lot of shots for them.
Yeah, and you'd think a Pat Riley would have that in mind. He's a basketball genius. He's supposed to be. You know, you would think he would have gotten somebody to run the point for them.
Well, with Bosh and Wade and LeBron taking up all that money, who can you bring in? You might have a washed-up Steve Nash coming in. He may or may not be able to help them out next year. I'm not sure. We have to see how that goes because they're looking at him. But with them taking up all that money, you're really not going to be able to get a really good elite point guard.
Yeah, Nash said he'd come in for the league minimum, I heard, next year and play run point for them. So I'm interested to see if that happens.
Yeah, if that happens, okay. We you might have something.
Yeah. Well, Avery, man, I appreciate the call, man. You going to stay on and listen?
Yeah, I'll stay on the line. Once you start getting into college football, I'll weigh in.
That's where we're coming on right now. Thanks, Avery. Guys, that was some good conversation about this NBA. Chris, you have any final thoughts before we switch gears?
No, we're good to go.
All right. Well, we'll see game two tomorrow night. We will talk about it Sunday. So game two is tomorrow. So is game three going to be Saturday or Sunday, Trey? Do you know?
I think it's Saturday. I didn't set up for the weekend, but to be honest, I don't know.
Okay, so by Sunday, we should have a lot of information on this series, and by then we'll really know, you know, who's going to actually win this series, we think. So right now it's anybody's game. Like Chris said, you can't really count out LeBron yet, but I'm going to give him one more game to see. If he comes out and lays an egg again, they're done. So we're going to shift gears, and guys, we're going to go to the college football world. And then after that, we'll talk a little college baseball. We got the World Series set up. But Trey and Chris, we're going to preview LSU tonight. And, a lot of people, are talking about LSU. They're talking about, them coming back after getting embarrassed by Alabama. But, I look at this team that Trey, they have everybody coming back, man, besides their quarterback in Claiborne. But how do you see LSU this year? I'm going to break down their schedule in just a few minutes, but what are your thoughts on LSU coming back?
To me, Tarvin, and you hit on the reasons. I mean, quarterback is an important position, but this is a team that just has so much depth and so many blue chippers. To me, they're the national champion favorites. Not only just to come out of the SEC, but just because I think that these guys – based on losing that championship and getting that experience, I mean, you can't overstate the fact that they just went to the national championship game. Yeah, they lost, but a lot of this team is coming back, and a lot of them just went through it. So they're going to have a lot of experience and a lot of calm nerves when it comes down to big plays and big games and big stadiums. So to me, they're going to be the team to beat.
Chris, what do you think about it?
Yeah, I'm agreeing with Trey. I think you've got to definitely put them, in your top three of favorites to win the national title this year. And like Trey alluded to earlier, the key is going to be how well Mettenberger is, you know, how well he's able to contribute on offense. I mean, let's face it, he doesn't have to do much. He just has to come in and not make mistakes, because they're going to have a solid run game. They're going to have a solid offensive line. And then, of course, the defense is going to be spectacular. I mean, their defensive line is probably loaded with about four guys that'll go in the first round of the NFL draft. So their defensive line is just going to be absolutely spectacular. But to me, in breaking down LSU this year, the one thing that I noticed is the schedule is so much easier than it was last year. You know, I mean, it just seemed like LSU played a top-five team every week last year. And eventually, I think that kind of caught up with them. I mean, you can only dodge the bullet so many times. But when I looked at their schedule this year, it's not near as daunting as the one last year. So, to me, that's kind of the whole big key this year that will help LSU out a lot in getting back to that national title game.
Well, guys, you know, LSU, just let's pretend that LSU beat Alabama in the national championship game. This would have went down as probably one of the best teams ever to play college football. That's how good they were and how consistent they were. And all they did was play top 10 teams all season long. And, you know, they ran into a buzzsaw when Nick Saban had a month to prepare. And that's one thing LSU, that's their Achilles heel, in my opinion. And I have some, you know, people that disagree with me on this. And if you'd like to weigh in, 646-716-5564. I think last year, if you put Nick Saban on LSU and Les Miles on Alabama, you would have had a reversal of roles. You'd have LSU beating Alabama like that. And I just think he's their Achilles heel. But I mean, he wins games, talent alone. He recruits well, so hard to get rid of the guy. I mean, all he does is he's probably got an 800 winning percentage. But I look at this team coming back, and I always look at the offensive line and defensive lines of teams when I'm looking, especially, you know, looking at a successful team like LSU. They still have – they have Montgomery and Mingo, defensive ends, coming back. Those guys put a lot of pressure on quarterbacks. Logan and Brockers at defensive tackle. They have Honey Badger coming back at corner. They have Minner at linebacker. They have Simon and Reed. I mean, they're kickers and their punters back. I mean, this team is loaded. They have four offensive linemen returning. Mettenberger has thrown 11 passes in his career. But I'm going to tell you what, guys. He's going to be a lot better than Jordan Jefferson ever thought about being. And you guys hit it head on when you said, all he has to do is just manage the game. He doesn't have to be a superstar. You look at A.J. McCarron last year, all he had to do was manage a game, and that's all they needed to win with that defense and offensive line. So this is the same thing. All Mettenberger has to do is come in and hand the ball off, keep the defenses honest by, you know, not letting them load the box. And I'm telling you, LSU will be unbeatable this year. But, big but here. We're going to go through their schedule, and you have to remember Les Miles is a coach, okay? We have to remember that Les Miles is a coach as we're going through this schedule. And I'm going to bring Tanya. I'm sorry, Trey, go ahead.
Now, I was going to say, before we get to this, just remember how, I mean, I understand the quarterback stuff and their schedule and Les Miles, but I'm pretty sure with this team I could win 8 games, and I was the third string quarterback in 8th grade. So let's start with there, Tarvin.
I'll tell you this. I've never coached a college football game in my life, and I could win 11 games this year with LSU. One loss would be at Auburn, I know, you know, but that would be my only loss, because I would throw that game. Tanya, are you there with us?
I sure am.
What do you think about LSU this season? How do you think they're going to fare in the SEC West?
No, seriously, I loved your comment, let's pretend. I'm like, yeah, let's pretend.
Yeah.
I think they're going to do great. I'm looking at their schedule right now, and it's like, come on. The schedule they had last year was like Bama's 2010 schedule, which people tend to forget. But they've got they've got Spencer Ware back. They've got, what's this dude?
Kenny Hilliard's back at running back,
yeah.
And Michael Ford. Yeah.
There you go. So they've got a lot of key players coming back. I mean, and then they've got Gunnar Keel, too.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
it's like,
he's from Indiana, isn't he? He's that quarterback, that phenom out of Indiana.
Yeah. And so I think I totally agree with you, Brian. It's totally going to be on Lucky Les, and I believe Les's luck is going to run out. I think that the contract with the witch doctor he usually has back there doing that hoodoo wasn't renewed this year. But he's going to be the problem.
Yep, he is. I've been saying that for years, that Les Miles, Chris, he's that guy, man, that, I mean, he gets lucky at times, but he'll get you beat, too, where Saban doesn't usually get you beat. You know, if you look at Alabama, he's always prepared, and he preaches that. Les Miles, it's just hard for me to take him serious. Chris, what do you
think? Thank you. I totally agree. If you look at his record before he came to LSU, and then you just, one thing that I always said is what people tend to forget is that when his first year at LSU, he had Nick Saban's recruiting class. So it's not like he came in and just, you know, wow, brought in this magic wand. No, dude, you already had the talent set.
Yep.
So it's like, to me, 2010 was probably his first year where it was strictly just all him. And it just seems it's always that by the skin of his teeth, he always gets in these situations and I don't really think, now this is something that I've heard, put it like this, secondhand from a very reliable source, that he's not as respected by the players. And that's one thing that I think was proven in the national championship game. It's like, come on, if you don't have the respect of your players, they have to want to play not only for the school and for the team and for the win, but also for the man that's leading them. And if you don't have that, then, dude, that's why you see less in all these weird situations.
Chris?
Well, you know, we all like to kid, you know, about Les and his coaching blunders. But, you know, sometimes you better rather be lucky than good because it seems like Les has a lot of it. But here's the one thing. I mean, yeah, he inherited a lot of talent, you know, when Saban left. But you have to give him credit because he produced with that talent. And so he has been able to sustain the excellent recruiting classes at LSU. And that's the one thing that you can't take away from Les Miles. This guy can straight up recruit. And, you know, say what you want to about him, but the guy knows how to evaluate talent. He knows how to get them there. And, you know, eventually, a lot of times, if you have the most talented players in the country on your team, you're going to win a lot of ball games. It's going to mask a lot of the coaching, you know, the coaching mistakes that you make. But
Chris, I'm going to interrupt just a second. You remember when Saban left, it's like Miles took over some of the momentum, and that lasted 2 years. But if you look at the last couple of years with Les Miles, even last year, look at his recruiting class, it wasn't even, I don't even think it was top 10, was it?
But see, here's the difference, though. He's able to get some of these guys that aren't, you know, five-star athletes to come in and produce at these just extraordinary levels. I mean, we're sitting here talking about he's got four defensive linemen that are going to go in the first round of next year's NFL draft, and he recruited every one of those guys. So you got to give him some credit. I mean, you can't just sit there and say, that, hey, the guy, you know, he's just a big – I mean, yeah, he's going to make his coaching blunders or whatever. But I'm telling you, this schedule this year sets up very nice for LSU. They really only have – one game to play. There's only one game that's really at risk, and that's the Alabama game. I mean, as big an Auburn fan as I am, I don't see Auburn giving them much of a fit. I don't see Texas A&M, South Carolina, Florida really handling. I mean, it all depends on how the quarterback plays, but if I'm LSU right now, I'm extremely happy that I don't have to run through the gauntlet that I did last year in order to get to the national title game.
That's a very good point.
And I will give you that, and I will give him some credit. I'm not saying that he's a total, you know, dumbass, but I just wonder how much of that success is truly less and how much is it less in staff. You know, it's almost like he's more of a...
But here's the thing, though. One of your jobs as a head coach is to put together a great staff. And so he's able, he has the contacts, he knows who he wants to come in and be his recruiters, his offensive coordinators, and he's done a good job at that. So you really can't discount him there. So everybody likes to make fun of him because, you know, he's kind of quirky and he's got a different way of doing things, but yet it still produces what a lot of countries are searching, or a lot of universities are searching for, and that's the result. I mean,
I'll give you
a national title, and he's played in a national title game. So, you know, I mean, I'm not a big Les Miles fan, but I'm just trying to give you a little bit different perspective.
Yeah, I'll give you this perspective, because I get this a lot when people talk about my Gophers. With my Gophers, it's always been, we've always had a good coach, but a shitty recruiter. A good recruiter.
Exactly.
Okay, from what I've seen of Les, I will agree. He's a great recruiter. And he's a great recruiter, and like you said, he takes those 3 stars and knows they can be 5 stars. That I don't doubt. What I doubt is the fact that the man can actually coach. He didn't coach in that national championship at all. And the most of the games that he gets by on the skin of his teeth is one luck, but coaching. If he was a solid coach, they wouldn't even be close games. So that's what I question. I question his coachability. Great recruiter, but I think he's a subpar coach.
Hey, Jason, you remember that movie, Water Boy? Water Boy? Yeah, you remember Fonzie on the sideline, how he would freeze up when he would look across the sideline and see that other coach?
Exactly. Okay. There you go.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what it reminds me of. The national championship and said, oh, shit. What am I going to do? And Saban handed him.
Let me ask you this, Jake. If Minnesota had the opportunity to get Les Miles, let's play pretend here. Would you want him as your coach, knowing how well he recruits, that he would give you over a guy that you knew was a
no? And I say this because of this reason only. I've been through that shit. I've had a great recruiter.
I don't believe you because if I'm in a situation where I've got, I mean. If you have a chance to get a guy that can really recruit and bring NFL-level talent to your team, you're going to take him, and you're going to take all the BS that kind of comes with it, I believe. If you really ask,
I would. I'll be honest. I'll take him, but if I had a choice, I'd take Satan.
I think 100 college football programs would take Les Miles, and I'm a Florida State fan. I mean, he's got – for his coaching, you know, people knock him for his coaching, you know, all this kind of stuff. For every knock you have on Les Miles, he has, you know, that it factor for, you know, a team that Les Miles seems to attract wins. And
you're right.
Big wins. And so whatever he's doing, I'll take it at Florida State because Jimbo Fisher has lack of that. And, you know,
I'm right
there.
Look, Jason said he wouldn't take him if he was at Minnesota. I would.
So you have
to understand it from my perspective, though. I want the best of both worlds. I don't want to just be subpar and mediocre. I want to actually be good 1 year. You know, good. And right now, Minnesota, looking at that, I don't see it happening for another 4 or 5 years. And with Urban up in Ohio State, I about cried. I said, of all people to send up to the Big Ten, Jesus, now my dreams are crushed. And I feel sorry for Michigan fans because they're in for a rude awakening. People thought Ohio State was dominant already in the Big Ten. It's going to get worse.
Well, so Brian, you want to review the schedule?
Yeah, I'm going to go through the schedule real quick. And before we do that, guys, I'm gonna bring on Avery, and I want his perspective, actually, of Les Miles out west. So he's a big Southern Cal fan. So, Avery, tell me about what you think of Les Miles and what the fans do out there.
Hey, Avery.
Listen, how you doing, Sonia?
I think I'm on the outside of this, but I like Les Miles. And main reason is after Saban left, yeah, he was riding off his recruits and things kind of went bad. I don't know if you guys remember seasons when they were doing 9-4 and 8-5 and whatnot. And then he turned around and built his empire, his own empire. And last year's schedule was ridiculous. I've never seen a schedule like that in college football. So I know he has the respect of the players because you can't have a season like that without having respect to your players, knocking off all these top 10 teams week after week after week after week. But he didn't have a quarterback. And you know, hey, that's his problem. But still, I think he's a good coach. LSU will be pissed off next year. They're bringing all these guys back who ran through all these great teams last year, and they're going to be very, very, very dangerous. I like to think USC is there, but you look at LSU and what they're bringing back and what they went through being embarrassed like that, they're going to be pissed. And they have the weapons to just obliterate a lot of these teams out here.
Avery, if you had a chance, would you take Les Miles over Lane Kiffin?
Not right now, because I think Kiffin's doing fine. I don't want to interrupt what Kiffin is doing. He's a great recruiter, and he's a decent coach. So I'd keep Kiffin just because he's pretty much continuing what Pete kind of established at USC as far as his approach. But Les Miles, he's a great coach. I mean, if I didn't have Kiffin and I had somebody else, I'm sure. If you can recruit like he does, get some good position coaches in there, you'll win games. So it's really not that much about the head coach in college football. The head coach in college football is kind of like your master of ceremonies, where he's just getting everything orchestrated. If you get your position coaches in there, you win games.
Yep. You know, Avery, Gene Chizik, you know, people knock him and everything. But, you know, when he comes in, he's came in every year and hired great coordinators and coaches, you know, position coaches and recruited well. So I know he might not be the best X's and O coach out there, but he's one of those, in my opinion, you know, that can, like Les Miles, that can put the right pieces in place in order to build a championship team.
Yeah, exactly. It's like with any job. You don't have to know how to do the job to be a great supervisor. If you can motivate your employees to do the job, make sure they're safe and while they're doing it, you can be a great boss. You don't have to know how to do what they do. You don't have to be an expert.
Yeah, that's a great point. But you do have to know how to lead and get the most and the best out of everybody on your team.
I've been
a supervisor, and I know exactly that's the key. I don't know how to do everything, but I knew how to motivate people.
Exactly.
Go ahead, Avery.
No, I said I manage employees on my job as well, and to be honest, if the roles reversed, I would not be able to do their job. But like we were just talking about, it's about the motivation and gaining their trust.
Yeah.
Well, I just wanted to tell you, Bo, this is for Chris and Avery. It's not like I detest him or anything like that. And you have to understand, part of my viewpoint comes from having met some of these guys. So it's just my personal opinion. Do I give him credit for what he's accomplished? Yes. I could not sit here and even fake the funk that I wouldn't take him if I was Minnesota or somebody like that. So I give him much credit for that. It's just, you know, it's almost, I'm kind of like from Mizzou right now, you know, from the show me state.
Yeah.
Show me a little bit more.
Yeah, I agree. You also got to understand that some of the bad apples are usually the most outspoken. So when the people are telling you that, oh, we're not respecting him or blah, 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 you know, you hear so many things from people, disgruntled employees and players who just don't like a coach because they didn't get the start because they were promised this and, you know, we don't respect him. You know, there's so many things behind all that, you know. If you can't sit down with Miles and get his side of it, you know, you really have to kind of take it with a grain of salt.
You're exactly right.
I'm wondering what his favorite kind of grass is, though.
He likes fescue.
Probably the same type of his players smoke.
Yeah,
he likes
the synthetic grass.
He likes synthetic grass. Yeah. Put on Turner.
Well, you know, I'm going to go through their schedule, and guys, we're going to have to move fast on this. And I'll call out the first four games in North Texas, Washington, Idaho, at Auburn. you know, out of those four games, Auburn's the only team that I think that could give them a challenge being on the road, and you know, hostile environment with a new quarterback. It could be interesting.
Yeah, Chris, I totally agree with you on that one. No, I think the Mean Green are going to give them a run for their money.
Right. I don't want to sound mean, but I think LSU has no problems with the first four games. even Auburn. I mean, I know you're an Auburn fan, but come on. Think about it.
I'm telling you, Auburn will be a lot better this year. And it's, out of the four games that I just listed, that's going to be their toughest.
I agree maybe their toughest, but I think Auburn will be better this year, but so will LSU. And that's what's you know, you got to look at it like that. I know people usually think about their own development. Oh, we're going to beat us, but LSU is going to be a lot better next year, and they were already great.
Exactly. And, Brian, what you said is not their four games, their first five, because look at who they play after Auburn.
Townsend.
Yeah, Townsend University. Yeah, I've never heard of Townsend University, so that's probably where Les Miles graduated from.
Most likely.
So everybody on the panel, you have them going 5-0, correct?
Yes, 5-0.
Okay. Craig?
0-5, Charvin. 0-5.
0-5.
Oh, wait, hold on. Our wins first, then 5-0. Sorry.
Guys, I'm telling you, I've studied this team, and they're loaded. But if there's one weakness in this team, it's Les Miles, a new quarterback, and their first true challenge on the road or a game at all at Auburn. So it's going to be interesting. That game's always usually a good one. Sometimes it gets out of hand, but it's always LSU beating us. We're not beating them too bad. So it's either a blowout, LSU wins, or Auburn wins a close game. So, all right, guys. 5-0, we got Florida. We got at Florida, home against South Carolina, at Texas A&M. Chris, who do you got? Any problems in those three?
I really don't see any major hurdles. I mean, these will obviously be a little bit, you know, tougher games for them, you know, relative to the first five games. To me, maybe South Carolina is able to give them somewhat of a game. But I don't think Florida's there yet, and I really don't think Texas A&M, even though that game is at College Station on the road, I just don't see LSU really having any troubles with them. So I'll pick them to go 3-0 in those next three games.
Trey?
Yeah, I mean, I'm picking them to go to the national championship game, so I think they're going to win them all. But I think if there's a trap game, it's not Texas A&M. I think it's Florida. I mean, to me, Florida is improving quite a bit. I think they're going to be a lot better than at least some people think they're going to be. So Florida's the trap game because, you know, down in the swamp's always tricky. But I think they get past it. But, you know, Lee Corso might say closer than the experts think.
All right. Tanya?
I would have to agree except for one. If the old ball coach takes that head off and pulls another rabbit out like he did with Bama in 2010, you just never know. So, but at this point, I'd say, yeah, totally, 3-0. At this point, they're unbeaten.
Jason?
What I'm probably the most curious about, I'm not worried about Florida or Texas, but it's, can Lattimore run a defensive line? If he's able to do what he wants in that game, that's one to be scared about. So it's just, that's the only one I have iffy, but I would say 3-0 in this one.
Aver?
Yeah, I think they go 8-0, but I think the sleeper will be them at Florida, because I think Florida may have the same type of guns, if you know what I'm saying. The coaching may not be, I mean, not the coaching, but they may not be as good as LSU, but talent-wise, I think they could match up with LSU if you just look at the recruiting classes over the years.
Yeah, I'm saying South Carolina, and that out of those three, I think, you know, Connor Shaw's a developing quarterback. He can run. If Lattimore's back healthy, that defense is going to be amazing. So if anybody can knock off a physical team, it's a physical team. So I think the old ball coach, better coach than Les Miles, that could be a trap game, you know, getting ready.
Yeah.
And it's good. October 13th, they have A&M the next weekend and then the bye. So I don't care what anybody tells you, that Alabama game is going to be on their minds at that time, just depending on, what all – depending on what all's going on. But we're going to go down to the next part. We got Bama, Mississippi State, Ole Miss, and Arkansas. So, Chris, out of those four, how many do they lose?
Well, this is, I mean, like I said earlier, I really only see one true test for the Tigers this year, and that's Alabama. The good thing for LSU, that's at home in Baton Rouge, a night game. And it'll come down, you know, I think they'll use that game as a revenge game, to get that motivation. So I'm going to pick them to win, to beat Alabama. It'll be very close. It'll come down to a field goal. And they'll wipe the floor with Mississippi State and Ole Miss. And, you know, the Arkansas game is always a tough one for LSU, it seems like, sometimes. And that one's on the road, so that will be a test. But I don't think Arkansas is going to – I just don't think with the new coach there that they're going to be able to handle LSU with all the talent they've got coming back. But that's a rivalry game, so it's a coin flip on whether they'll win it or not. But I think that LSU's got enough guns to get past it. So I'm picking LSU to go undefeated in the regular season.
Wow. Right?
Yeah, I mean, I think they're undefeated in the regular season. I think Chris kind of stole my thoughts there on the Alabama game. And I was trying to think of something witty to say about something good happening in Mississippi in football, but I couldn't think of anything. I mean, there's just it's not been a pleasant time to be any kind of Mississippi fan until the college football. So yeah, I think they're undefeated in the regular season.
Tanya?
All right. Well, you know where I'm going on the November 3rd game and what people. Yeah, it's going to be a revenge. It's going to be we've got something to prove, but also, looking at it from another standpoint as a Bama fan, Alabama, because of all of the hype and the hoopla and the talk about the national championship game, Alabama's going to have something to prove. And so you're going to have two powerhouse teams meeting both with something to prove. And I say if LSU, by the grace of God, beats Alabama, they go undefeated. They're in the SEC championship, and then they go to the national championship. But if things go the way they should in my universe, Alabama beats them, just depending on how the mental state of that loss, depending on their mental state, Arkansas would be their next big challenge. You can't sleep on Arky.
Jason?
Yeah, they got two tests in that last four. I'm on the fence on the Alabama game. I think it's a pretty even game. But I agree with Sonia. I think Alabama has something to prove also. I think McCarron's I think that game you're gonna see McCarron throwing at the Honey Badger.
Avery?
So, yeah, I'm thinking they lose one.
Okay.
The other three I'm not concerned about.
Well, I think both teams will be coming in undefeated for LSU and Alabama. You're probably going to be looking at the most rowdy crowd in a long time at LSU, and I think LSU pulls it off just because of the revenge factor and the fact that they're at home. And I think LSU pulls it out. But I will not be surprised if Bama won, nor will I bet on this game because it can go either way. But it's I believe it's November 3rd, and I'd be watching USC and Oregon either way.
Oh!
Yeah. And I look at that Alabama game, and I have to bet on Nick Saban. If I'm going to take a coach, especially on the road, if anybody wins at LSU, it's always Alabama. I just think, you look at talent, you look at a wash. When you look at Alabama and LSU, it's like a wash. I think Alabama might have a little bit more talent. But when you start comparing quarterbacks, you have an experienced quarterback, national championship quarterback, leading your team into Death Valley, and you have Nick Saban, I just don't think LSU is going to do it. And I think LSU is going to end the regular season 10-2, and I think they're going to play in a BCS game, but it won't be the big one. So that's where I have LSU, 10-2 this year. Made a great team, but it will be disappointing for all the LSU fans out there. So that's my story. You write it down, 10-2. That's what you'll see at the end of the day. And I don't know who the losses are coming from, except I know one is Alabama. But you never know about the South Carolina, the Arkansas, Auburns of the world. You just never know in the SEC when you've been playing a tough schedule all season which team's going to sneak up. And that's the problem with Les Miles. Can he keep his team prepared and mentally ready against teams like that? Because it seems like LSU struggles against teams like that in the past. The good games they play good in, but those in-between games like the, you remember Kentucky a few years ago, and even Auburn, they slipped up some. And Arkansas, they have a lot of trouble beating Arkansas. But Avery, Sonia, and Jason, I really thank you for calling in.
Hold up, Brian. I know you just got a few seconds. Hold on. Do you have a caller in queue? Because you've got an LSU fan on the message board trying to get in and weigh in.
Yeah,
and I'll give
them
my
Yeah, I'm about to get them in. But guys, I really do appreciate y'all calling and making this show great tonight and weighing in with us.
All right, no problem.
And, all right, guys, y'all take care.
All right.
All right. You're on Weigh In Sports. Is this an LSU fan?
Yes.
What's up, Corey?
Nothing much. I think LSU can run the table, but there's three games I think that can trip them. Actually, four games can trip them up. The South Carolina game.
Okay. Yeah, I like that.
The Florida game. There's always close games in Florida for some reason. Alabama. Well, that speaks for itself because they lost the national championship to them. And Arkansas, we always play horrible at Arkansas for some reason.
Yeah, I mean, those are four games, and again, you're in the SEC, so you have a lot of teams that can sneak up in there every week and beat you, Corey. You just have to be on your A game a lot. And I think with LSU, they can play an average game. You know, an average game and actually outwill a lot of teams just by talent alone. So it's those Alabama, Arkansas, South Carolina, and Auburns and Florida that you have to really play a good game against.
I totally agree with that.
So Chris, man, Chris is in an LSU love fest tonight, man. I've never seen him in this mode before, Corey.
Me neither.
Well, the reason why is because, you know, like I say, Tarvin, you win championships on the offense and defensive line, and they're stacked, they're loaded. And if they get any play whatsoever out of Mettenberger, they're going to be a tough beat. I mean, you know, they're going to give teams a lot of fits. You know, if you can get to the quarterback and cause them, you know, to make bad decisions, then, you know, it just opens the door for everything else. So that's why I really like them this year. And plus, like I said, too, their schedule is so much easier than it was last year. And they're returning pretty much everybody except for, you know, a couple defensive players. So this team is experienced. They're going to know what to expect. And the road's just going to be a little bit easier than it was last year.
So, Corey, what do you think about Les Miles as your coach?
I love the guy. Sometimes I wonder about his decision-making process. That concerns me a great deal, a lot. I don't believe
he's not the best at decision-making, but he'll go for it on fourth down on you, though, Corey.
I do give him credit, but I'm still mind-boggled that why he didn't take more risk in the national championship game. That still weighs heavy on my mind. Here you are, a risk-taker, all the years you've been there, and you the one game I'm expecting you to throw some tricks up your sleeve, you have nothing.
Man, he laid down, didn't he? It was like they didn't even show up for that game. I can't understand it myself. And I've watched the game over and over again just to try to see, was it Alabama? It was Alabama's dominance in a way, but, you know, LSU doesn't have a bunch of three-star athletes on their team. They're loaded with blue chippers, like Trey said, and I expect them to put up a fight, and I expect them to, their coaches to be a little more creative. It was like they just froze up and they just went conservative. Because the first game was a 9-6 overtime game. I think Les Miles had that same game plan in mind, and all of a sudden Nick Saban came out wanting to throw the ball, and it threw LSU way out of whack when Alabama started throwing the ball on them. It just messed their whole game plan up.
It did, but the offense was running the exact same players they ran in Tuscaloosa, which is mind-boggling. You had over Kirby Smart and Nick Saban had over 40 days to prepare for the option. And then you kept running it like it worked. Nick Saban's a genius. The best coach in college football. You give that man that much time to prepare for offense.
Yeah. And I hate to say that about Nick Saban, but, you know, when you're looking at it, there's no doubt, you know, he's the best coach in college football because he can recruit, he has the respect of his players, he hires great coaches, and he just knows how to win games, man. He's a winner. And when you look at him, everywhere he goes, you could put him at Temple, and the next 3 years he'd be playing for a national title just because he's that good of a coach. I mean, it's got to change eventually, Corey, though. It has to change. So maybe Florida State can get in there 1 year, Trey.
I don't know. Is Les Miles coming to Florida State?
No, I mean, the next best thing, Jimbo Fisher.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. To me, Jimbo Fisher reminds me a lot of Mark Richt. He's a fantastic coach, but he just can't seem to win when it counts. So, I don't know. We'll see. I mean, I have all the hope in the world, but, you know, it's a long drought when you're a Florida State fan when you got used to winning in the 80s, so in the 90s.
Corey, any final thoughts on LSU before we wrap up?
I think they can run the table if they stay focused and not look at the Alabama game as a revenge game, but taking it as a step to where you want to be in Miami.
Yeah, that's a very, very good point. You have to look at Alabama just like any other opponent. You have to treat them like that. You can't have this revenge in your mind because it'll bite you. And I think that's a great point you just made. But, Corey, thank you for the call, man. Don't be a stranger to the show. We look forward to hopefully speaking with you Sunday.
No problem. Thank you for having me.
All right. Take care, Corey. All right, guys. We have about 8 minutes left, and we're going to talk college baseball. But Sonia, Jason, Avery, Corey, thank you very much for the call tonight. It was a great conversation. You really helped us break down LSU. And, guys, they look poised to make a run. It's just, I mean, you have to have luck in college football, too. You have to be able to be lucky, and we'll see how lucky they are this season. So, college baseball, guys, we're Final Eight now. It starts this weekend. Trey, I know you were big on Florida and Florida State. And actually looking at this bracket, I'm very big on Florida. You know, the winner of the Florida-South Carolina game, I think it's going to be Florida. I think Kent State's going to beat Arkansas. And I think you're going to have Florida beat Kent State. Then you have the UCLA Stony Brook, Trey. Do you think there's any way Stony Brook can pull off an upset and beat UCLA?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's two games that are just, I think, really, really intriguing. I think you hit one of them, the former national champions or the defending national championship, South Carolina, versus what could be a better team than the Twins, the Florida Gators, which is just pains me to say that kind of thing. But the other game is that UCLA Stony Brook game. I mean, Stony Brook's got a lot of hype right now, and they've earned it. But UCLA, do not sleep on them. They are a really good team. So coming out of the Pac-12, UCLA is who I actually have, if you follow us on Twitter, picked to play Florida in the national championship game, which is, you know, unfortunate. I think Florida State's talented, but, you know, being out west, I've seen some of these Pac-12 games, and UCLA is really good. So for me, and if you follow us on Twitter, we'll actually be breaking, you know, asking for you guys' input on all the matchups coming up. But that's the teams that I have, Tarvin.
Chris?
Yeah, I was really disappointed when the brackets came out to find out that they put Florida against South Carolina in the first game. I was like, well, there goes my championship game hope. You know, I was hoping to see South Carolina and Florida play for. That's kind of who I had pegged as the top two seeds. But, yeah, that's going to be an epic game. I mean, that is almost like a national title game in the first round, you know. So, you know, I think Stony Brook, yeah, they can hit. So they're going to be in it. And like Trey said, a lot of people are overlooking UCLA, and that's a very good one. I have no idea who's going to come out of that first bracket. It is so wide open. But I'm going to go – I know Trey's going to love this pick, but I'm going to say that Florida State can make it through this bracket somehow and play for the national title. And in bracket two, I mean, it's a coin flip to me between the defending – or the two-time defending national, you know, champs in South Carolina and Florida. I think they'll make quick work of Kent State or Arkansas, whoever makes it out of that. But I'm going to go – I'm not going to pick against the champ. I'm going to say it's going to be South Carolina and Florida State in the final.
Yeah, I had Florida State playing for it all. But don't you think it's kind of odd that all three SEC teams are on the same side of the bracket?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if that's like predetermined on how they break it out, you know, between the super regionals, which I think is what happens, but. Yeah, it's just kind of some bad luck, you know, for these SEC teams.
Yeah,
Chris, it's actually
called bias. It's called bias, Trey.
No, Chris is right. It's actually predetermined. If you watch the tournament from the very beginning, you know, each super regional goes against the, you know, like the one super regional is already determined to go against the other. So that's how the bracket came to be. But it is. I mean, Chris is right. I mean, it's kind of unfortunate for baseball fans that South Carolina gets matched up against Florida. I mean, because those two teams are so good. But, you know, it also opens up the door for, the Kent States, the Stony Brooks, the who knows? I mean, it opens up that door because one of those teams are going to the loser's bracket.
Exactly.
Yeah, and I have a question. I know I think I'm right. So it's double elimination through the whole – it's not best out of three, because we saw in these last ones it's best two out of three and they keep advancing. And this one – is double elimination, but the championship game is not a two out of three, correct? It's just a winner takes all.
I think the championship is a best of three, isn't it?
I thought it was too, and I could be wrong,
okay.
But this is one of those things that I always forget. You know, when you get there, like, oh, this is, you know.
Okay, you're right.
Yeah, looking
because
at,
I've seen a team have one loss, Chris, and they've even once you make it to the championship game, your records are wide.
It's a best
clean,
of three,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah,
you're correct.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
It's double elimination until you get to the championship series, then it becomes a best of three.
Okay, thanks. That did clear up once I started talking about it a little bit. But, man, this college baseball is exciting. You know, in the past few years, I haven't really gotten into it as much. But, you know, doing the show and talking sports all the time, I have to, you know, start watching it. But I've really enjoyed watching this College World Series, guys. I really have.
I have too. And, you know, and this is one of the times that I'd really like to thank ESPN, you know, because when they signed that big contract with the SEC, they started carrying a lot of the SEC baseball games over the past couple of years. And, you know, usually I didn't watch college baseball until the College World Series, but now I'm kind of like everybody else. I'm hooked on these regional and super regional tournaments and even during the regular season, you know, so – ESPN has definitely given college baseball a lot of exposure, and you're seeing the rewards of that. Because I mean, I think college baseball has seen a lot of growth over the last, you know, 3 to 4 years due to ESPN's coverage.
Yeah. Trey, I heard Florida State needs a second baseman. Are you up for it?
Oh, man, I'm so there. Let me go to Omaha. I'm gonna go 0-16 in the tournament, but I may get a sacrifice bunt in there.
I'll be hit by a pitch probably my first time and probably never return to the field. So.
Lean into it.
I'll be like Dorn in Major League. What was it, Major League 2? We come off the bench just to lean into one. So that's what I'd
that's
be
right.
like. But hey, guys, well, we have a few more topics that we can't get to tonight. We're out of time, but Sunday we're going to have another great show, guys. There's so much going on. We'll have the College World Series breakdown. We're going to go through Sandusky's trial a little bit, NBA Finals. And the team, Chris, who do you want to break down Sunday?
As far as SEC, let's see. We did a West team tonight, so let's do an East team on Sunday night. How about we break down the South Carolina Gamecock, the old ball coach?
Okay. Trey, we're going to do South Carolina Sunday. We're going to do
yep.
Florida State Wednesday.
Uh-oh.
And we're gonna do Southern Cal the next Sunday. So we're gonna kind of venture out of the SEC. I know we have some Pac-12 fans in here. We will include Oregon in that at some time. So we're gonna break down South Carolina, you said, Chris, on Sunday.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, on Sunday. Yeah.
Okay. And Trey, just for you, Florida State on Wednesday if you can make it. If not, Trey, we'll break down Southern California Wednesday and move that to Sunday.
All right, I like it.
All right, guys, and all the callers and listeners, we had a real good night tonight with everyone, a lot of live listeners, a lot of callers, and we couldn't do it without you. So spread the word out, forward these invites that we send you through the message boards and Facebook, forward them to your friends, send them the link, because we really want to grow this show out, and it's starting to take up a lot of steam. And by football season, I want to have, you know, a big fan base, because we love football, college football, NFL football, everything. So year-round, we're going to be discussing what's hot, but you know college football as well as I do, guys. We're going to be, you know, we have Sundays for NFL, and we have a college review, and our Wednesday show can be about anything, you know, coming up for the week. So it's going to be exciting once we get into August and September, guys. We've just got to keep going and building our fan base. But thanks to all the listeners out there and all the callers tonight. Sonia, you were great. Jason as well. Avery, Corey. And Trey and Chris, we appreciate y'all coming on.
Yeah, and Tarvin, sorry, I just wanted to mention that we actually, the Twitter account's going well. Follow us on Twitter. You know, I've actually gotten some responses on Twitter. You know, I got one this week was one guy who corrected me on the Pac-10. I call him the Pac-10. Just, I mean, that kind of stuff's fun. You know, I appreciate it when I'm on Twitter. I'm trying to tweet a lot during the big games and stuff. So, you know, follow us on that. You know, we got a lot of stats and stuff out there. And definitely gives us topics for the show, because sometimes on off Twitter, I get, you know, stuff, hey, Tarvin, Ricketts, let's talk about this. People are, you know, all over this stat line or whatever
yeah.
it is. So
I've noticed that. You follow us at Weigh In Sports, WEIGHINSPORTS, and it is growing a lot. And Chris is still developing our website. It shouldn't be too much longer. In the next couple of months, we should have our own live website where you can go to our website and click on the page and you can start listening to our shows immediately. So I'm excited about that as well as everyone. So, well, Chris, you have a great week. And Trey, you stay out of trouble, okay?
Remember,
all right, guys. All right, guys. Y'all have a great week. See you, bye.
You too, Tarvin.
Bye-bye. See you later.
Yeah.